How do you communicate? My husband's not a Christian. I am. We've been married for 30 years. He's one of those people that whatever he says is right, and whatever I say, if it doesn't agree perfectly with him, is wrong.
Hey, maybe you relate to that. We talked communication and marriage yesterday. We continue it again today, right here from our Intentional Living Center. Dr. Randy, along with our team, Andrew on Facebook. Welcome to our Facebook friends, by the way. And Jennifer, who's in charge of all of our engineering behind the scenes on the control board. And Stephen, our executive producer, who takes calls and kind of makes sure everything goes the way it's supposed to go. And so we continue this discussion on communication today. You're welcome to share your comment at 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717 is that number. I'll tell you what, we're going to get to the rest of Patricia's call in a moment, but let me first go to a phone call. We've got Susan, who's been waiting for us here in Arizona. Hi, Susan. How you doing?
Hey, Randy. I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you for your call. How long you guys been married?
40 years to the same man.
Wow. 40 years in a row. And
Praise to God. Praise to him and to his people at church who have supported us in this. And I just wanted to share one little tidbit that worked for us years ago, more so than currently. But years ago, money was a very sensitive subject, especially with my husband. And so what I learned to do to avoid an argument would be to tell him in the morning, as I was kissing him goodbye, that I wanted to talk about money in the evening and that I'm not spending anything. I assured him that there was nothing serious that was going on. I just wanted to discuss some things. And it worked out great because by the time he got home, he was able to be ready for that conversation without getting angry or defensive or, you know, combative or whatever. So it worked out really well for us.
That's good. Hey, listen, sometimes it's like with the kids. What I've been telling parents for years in our ministry to families and parents, you know, it's okay to give your kids a warning. No one likes to be told, okay, clean up the thing, we're gone. You know, get it, clean up your blocks, put your toys away, we're going. I mean, kids will sometimes rebel, push back, not ready. I think it's respectful to say, hey, kids, in 10 minutes, we're leaving. No, right, 10 minutes. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I always tell the grandkids, count with me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they'll say, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. So when we get down to zero, there's no surprise. Now, sometimes there has to be a surprise. Sometimes there's a fire alarm in life and you have to do something like right now. But generally being respectful, being able to give a warning, to communicate, hey, later we'd need to talk about this, is helpful. I have to admit, I really do. If Donna's listening, I have to admit, I can get set off of just my mind. Here's what happens. I don't know about for you guys, but for me, my mind is like going in this direction and I'm thinking about this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, boom, something is said about, hey, we need to do this or do that or something. And I'm thinking, please, my brain is like exploding. I got a singular thought. Okay. So sometimes just a little warning. I found with Donna, what she does, in fact, it happened this week. One of our cabinets in the bathroom had the little panel come off and I needed to fix it. And I'm fairly handy. I can do these things. So she just set it out. It was in the kitchen on the counter. I noticed it was just sitting out there. No words, nothing had to be said. It was sort of just a gentle reminder. And that was helpful to me. And so anyway, you're right, Susan. Sometimes it's how you handle things. Hang on, Lynette. We'll get to you in a moment, but I want you to hear the rest of Patricia's call from the start of the show. Go ahead.
Well, my question is, how do you communicate? My husband's not a Christian. I am. We've been married for 30 years. I try to listen carefully and repeat what he says, but he's one of those people that whatever he says is right, and whatever I say, if it doesn't agree perfectly with him, is wrong. And I need to know how to biblically get around that barrier so that God can reach him. I'm in a Bible study, ladies' Bible study, and three of us got together because we all have similar husbands and we have similar needs so that we can share them in safety with no one else. We share our concerns, we pray about it, we pray for each other for the areas that we need to be working on for our husbands.
Well, listen, let me just remind everybody, we can't change our husbands or our wives. I mean, if they choose to be stubborn or immature, they're going to be stubborn and immature. And there's a lot of immature people in marriages. And there's a lot of times I'm immature and probably you're immature. And that's just the way it is when you got people and humans living together in marriage. So I always remind people that timing is important in communication. Timing is important. You just heard that from our caller. You know, can we talk about this later? Being able to talk to your husband maybe at another time, saying, honey, I'd like to talk to you. And just express yourself. Hey, listen, I just got to tell you, when we communicate, I got to tell you how I feel. This is how I feel when we communicate. And share your heart. He may understand, may not, but you're sharing your heart. Secondly, pick your battles carefully. Frankly, there are some things not worth fighting over. There's some things that it's just for the sake of having an argument. But there are some things that matter. There are things that really do matter. And when they really matter, if we're not picking a lot of battles, you know, it's a lot easier when something's really important that doesn't get mixed in with the 10 things before that weren't important. And so if we can pick those battles carefully to be able to say, this is something we must discuss. We can do it tonight, tomorrow, we can do it with a counselor, but this is something we have to talk about. This is really on the continuum of from one end of how you put the toilet back on the toilet paper roll. That frustrates me. So I'm not going to tolerate having an affair. And we have to know on that continuum what things are important and what things do we need to say, hey, everything stops until we talk about this. Talk tonight, tomorrow, with the pastor, with the counselor, but this thing has to be talked about. And so I'll tell you what, this is what destroys marriages. Number one, according to research, what destroys marriages is a lack of communication around criticism. People feel criticized, not accepted, unloved. Let's take a break. I'll be back with you, Lynette, in Michigan in just a moment. Don't go away.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
And then we see in that same passage that he fasted, he wept, and he prayed for many days to the God of heaven. What's powerful is this didn't happen in a day or even just a week. It was over a period of 3 or 4 months that Nehemiah really got in touch with what God was teaching him and preparing him to go to help his people back in Jerusalem. You know, it's one of the principles that we see in the life of Nehemiah. He was a man who asked the right questions, took a risk, and then took action. He was a winner. We see that in Scripture. 52 days, rebuilt the walls, changed his life, changed the lives of thousands of people. We contrast that with Jonah. All of us in Sunday school classes remember our kids as a child learning about Jonah, who didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he went and hid in the belly of that ship and ended up in the sea and in the belly of the big fish. What's interesting is Nehemiah... I'll give you a little bit of the lesson. Nehemiah prayed in chapter 1 of the book of Nehemiah. He prayed, got his heart right, got his head right. Jonah didn't pray until chapter 2 when he was in the belly of the fish. You know what? Many of us wait till we're in the belly of the fish to pray. There's a message outline for you, Stephen, Pastor Stephen. Some of us wait until chapter 2 to pray in the belly of the fish when you got Nehemiah who's willing to pray after he gets his heart broken with the answer to the question, winners and losers in life. Winners and losers. That's the lesson. It's our master class, the whole lesson. Members, coming your way here in a couple weeks. Been recorded, video and audio. We'll get it to you. And for those of you coming to stand with us, helping us reach people for Christ, helping us work with marriages, helping us see people come to Christ and families saved, that's what we're here for. Thank you for your financial support every month. We're listener supported. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on that donate button, okay? Appreciate it. All right, let's get back to the business at hand here on communication. Lynette, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Dr. Randy?
I'm doing well. How can I help?
Well, it kind of involves the communication with our adult son, which affects the communication with my husband's marriage, our marriage of 48 years. Our son is 47, and he has a great, he had a bachelor's degree in business or whatever, and worked for the state of Michigan, and he decided at one time just to quit because he didn't like what was going on instead of coming to my me and his father, our, you know, my husband, and this happened like 16, 17 years ago, and he's kind of been floating around ever since. Went to California, at the advice of some of his friends, and...
You don't approve of how he's living? You don't approve of his decisions?
No, he's a non-drinker, right. He's a non-drinker, non-smoker, faith-filled. However, you know, he lives in our basement sometime. He lives with his brother, Lansing, sometime, and it's really affecting... It's not good for our marriage. It's not good for, you know, his siblings don't approve of it. And it's just dragging me down. I've had a lot of health issues. Some of them were crazy ones caused from stress where I...
So why aren't you and your husband, I mean, you guys are not kids anymore. Why don't you deal with this? And he's not either.
Well, we've gone to counseling and different things over the years. I don't like the counselor. One counselor didn't show up. 6 weeks ago from me, and well, he got dismissed because of and something he did wrong there. Anyway, so I've gone counseling, I've done different things to try to help out the situation, and
yeah, but I guess what I'm asking, Lynette, is your son is 40, you said 48, he's 47, you've been married almost 50 years, you know. What has caused you not to be able to put a boundary in place? Say, we love you, son. We're praying for you, but we just can't keep up with this. Can't have you in and out of the house. It's too stressful for us. And put some boundaries in place for his benefit and for yours. Why don't you just do that?
I do. I'm trying. It's just, I'm not real, real healthy. I'm trying. I'm really trying. And my husband and I both are that way. We kind of, we give in, but we just say no. And we gave him a deadline of yesterday and whatever, and find a place. You got to find a place to live. He does some work online and find a place. And it just seems like his brain, he had a terrible delivery with him. So I think he's lost some oxygen and might have some health, some brain issues. I just don't know where to turn to try to help him just find a safe place to live, something, mental health possibly. He doesn't think he has some depression or mental health issues. He does. I can tell. And I'm getting depression issues because...
Yeah. How old are you, Lynette? Can I ask how old you are?
Sure. I'm 69.
All right. So
your husband's
77, you're 69, your health is not good. Your son is in his 40s. My guess is he's not happy either. I mean, with his life, and it's not working for you. I think everybody listening knows you have to put boundaries in place. There's a point where you have to just say, we can't do this. You know, here's what I think happens to us. The best predictor of our current behavior is how we behaved yesterday. If we had a bad habit yesterday, we're more likely to still have it today. In other words, if we were to go back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years in a relationship with even our adult children, when they were kids, you can start to see patterns and how we maybe fixed things for them or jumped in or tried to solve problems and so on. And those kinds of patterns can continue for a lifetime. They really can. So the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And until we stop and say, this isn't going to work anymore. It worked, frankly, what I hear you saying, Lynette, it maybe worked when you were 45. Or 48 or 49, but you're 69, your husband's 77, there's not good health, and it's affecting your marriage, and it's a serious issue for him and for you. Now, you say you don't know what to do. Well, you know, you draw a boundary and you hold it, and you stick to it. Or you take your son and you say, we're going to sit down with a counselor, and we're going to together put some boundaries in place and let you know what we can do and can't do. I tell people with adult children, I have a big heart for parents helping their adult children. You know, if you've been blessed, bless as you can your next generation, but make sure it's a blessing and not a weight around their neck. We don't want to disable our children, as it were, from becoming independent and doing what they need to do and what they can do in life. And we can do that. What is God doing in the life of our children? What is God doing in the life of our young adults that maybe we can jump in too soon and fix something and prevent God from finishing the work that he wants to do? And he's saying, you know, take your hands off of them, you know, back off. We saw that with the prodigal story in the scripture as an example, which is never easy to do. Lynette, you got a lot of moms and dads. We could do a whole show on this topic right here. Just this whole topic. You know, what do you do when you have a son or daughter you love, but isn't living a life that you either approve of or you're becoming overly engaged having to care for them? How do you balance that? We'll be praying for you, but that's what I would encourage. If you know what you need to do, and then we got to do it. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
In our lives, we all have challenges and opportunities. In Dr. Randy's message, Winning and Losing at Life, you'll learn about two people in the Bible, Nehemiah and Jonah, and how they responded in different ways to challenges and opportunities in their lives, and how we can finish strong as winners who are obedient to Christ. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you Dr. Randy's teaching featuring a new topic each month. This month, we have an incredible opportunity, as some friends of the ministry will match your gift dollar for dollar right now. Receive this month's special offer, and to send in your matching gift, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, your support matters. You help us continue to do this ministry, and this is the year end for us. In June? Yeah. This is our fiscal year end, June 30th. We wrap up the year, and to be where we need to be able to continue into this next year, we thank you in advance for your faithfulness, for completing those faith promises you've made. Thank you for your monthly support, for continuing to do that. You can do it on auto giving, which is the easiest way and most efficient and cost effective. Thank you. And there's no set amount. We just say, hey, come and join us. The average person donates about a dollar a day, about $30 a month, some less, some more. But we appreciate your support. And when you do, we'll make sure you start receiving the ongoing teaching from the ministry, our master class this month on winners and losers. And it's a contrast, a comparison and contrast to the lives of Jonah and Nehemiah in the Old Testament. These two guys are a contrast in winning and losing in life, I think. And anyway, I think you'll find the lesson to be very encouraging, especially if you have a lesson you want to share with your kids, your grandkids. Talk about this. It'll give you a great outline for you to carry on, maybe to teach others. And I hope you use the material we send to you. Feel free to use those outlines and things to encourage others. Anyway, come to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Your support makes a difference and allows us to continue to reach people for Christ. And we thank you so much for your support.
Hi, my name is Amy, and just listening to Intentional Living, the talk about communication in marriage has been a huge topic for me in the last year, really realizing the differences between my husband and myself and celebrating those differences instead of becoming frustrated over them. For example, I am a very analytical mind. I think things all the way through, and I stay up all night chewing on situations and scenarios and ways that I need to respond, or if I say it this way, how will that affect the outcome? Versus my husband, who is much more simple, does not feel the full weight of situations to the extent that I do, and he's more just kind of cut and dried about things. And in this last year, I've really been learning to make room to allow him to be who he is and not become frustrated because he won't dive into conversation at the level that I want him to. And so I frustrate him a lot because when he needs to share a story, like from work or from life in general, I'm always going, well, let's think about, you know, how we can respond to that, or maybe if you can adjust your attitude, maybe they can, you know, listen better. And he's usually just needing to be heard. And so I've really had to open up this last year and use my own problem-solving mindset to allow him to just be who he is and celebrate who he is and be really kind of happy that he can be so simple and things are not complicated with him.
Yeah, we do overcomplicate things, don't we? You know what, Amy? I'm going to put you squarely in the box of what I call a head person. A head person. I have a whole lesson, a conference that we do on head, heart, and hand. And those of us who tend to be in the head box, that's me. I'm in there. We analyze stuff. We love to know what's going on. Give us the bottom line. We want to work all that stuff through. And we're talking about marriage communication today. If you happen to be married to a person who's a heart person, they're over in that other bucket. You're in the head bucket, they're in the heart bucket, and you're thinking that is a ridiculous way of living. It's so emotional. I mean, come on, you got to think it. Got to think this through. Or if you're over in the third bucket, which we call the hand bucket, which is let's not think about it forever. Let's do it. Let's get it done. There's a problem that's got to be fixed. Take the trash out to the street, you know, deal with it. Let's not talk about the meaning of trash. And you know how that works. So, Amy, you're a wise woman learning to see the differences. You know what? Here, I'll give you just a quick lesson of what that conference is about. Head, heart, and hand, that perfect balance of our thinking, emotions, and our behavior, our actions, follow through, got shattered in the book of Genesis, in the fall, in the garden. And we see it, the head, heart, and hand. And whatever happened at that moment, I believe, started the process in the sinful world in which we live, that we tend to gravitate more to one over another. Now, we have all three, obviously, but sometimes we gravitate toward one, and it's hard for us to understand other people. All right, thank you, Amy. Appreciate it. I think I got a question here from Belinda. In Texas. Go ahead.
I was wondering how to deal with this situation. My husband continues to talk to me in a very disrespectful manner. I continually tell him to please not to talk to me that way. He's a Christian and he's not a Christian. But my question is, I continue to ask him, you know, don't talk to me in a disrespectful manner. And just at what point do you just keep allowing it to happen? I pray about it. It's caused me to be more intentional in being patient and showing Christ's love in situations where you don't want to, but I just don't know how to deal with this, and it's really been bothering me, so I wanted to find out how or what, I guess, to keep praying about it, but I just wanted some more guidance on that situation.
Well, I think I heard you say, Belinda, that you're a believer and he's not. I think I heard you say that. But obviously, you need to continue to pray. Pray for your husband and pray for yourself. Pray for God to move in your marriage. But it's an enigma to me. I have to tell you, I've counseled with people for, you know, many, many years now, 40 years probably. And when I see people who are in their marriage, I mean, they've been married 20, 30 years, and they're fighting, they're not communicating, their intimacy is shot, their marriage is struggling. I think, why do you keep hurting each other? I mean, this seems like the total self-inflicted wound, continuing to do the same thing and expecting different results. You know, we know that that is a form of insanity in life. And so to answer your question, Belinda, I really would encourage you, and I don't know what the overall relationship is like or why your husband feels like that way. To me, it's somebody, hurt people hurt people. And when someone is hurt, they lash out, or when they're under stress or they feel misunderstood, or, you know, I'd like to hear your husband's side of this. What's causing him to be so immature and frankly to behave this way, which is so counterproductive to having a good marriage or even a decent marriage? And so if it's possible, I would encourage you to when you have a quiet moment with your husband to say, honey, this just isn't working. You know, I've shared with you, but I'm feeling hurt. I don't know what's going on, but would you join me so I can understand what you're feeling? I want to understand you more. Lowering that wall enough to say, I want to understand what's going on in your life that would cause you to speak that way to me. And can we see a counselor, go to the pastor, someone? I just like to understand, I'd like to hear what's going on. Now, he may just shut you down and walk away. And that's a stupid thing to do. I'm not supposed to say that. That's a dumb thing to do. If you got that kind of an issue, your life is short. Guys, listen, marriage matters. and speaking harsh to each other. It's damaging. It's destructive. We know the top five issues that destroy marriages. Criticism is number one, right? And this is a form of criticism. When people are harsh toward each other, there's that sense of real hurt. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that puts the nail in the coffin of a marriage. And so when it's possible to be able to deal with it. Okay. All righty. I'll tell you what. Well, let's go. Let me see. We have another caller to go to, and it's Priscilla, I think, from New Mexico, right? Priscilla, go right ahead.
Well, me and my husband have learned, and we try to instill this in our kids as we're raising them as well, and that's to live by the three means. You mean what you say what you mean, but you don't say it means.
I like that. Say that again for people who are trying to write that down.
So you mean what you say what you mean, but you do not say it means.
Yeah, I like that. And has that been working for you guys for how many years now?
We've been married for 19 years.
Did you have trouble? Was this something you had to step into? Did you struggle in the early years in communication?
Well, we really did, and both of us have had unsuccessful marriages. Like, he's my second marriage, and I'm his third marriage. And when we first got together, we had a conversation about why our marriages failed, and a lot of that was because we were so young, we didn't know how to communicate, and we didn't really have a lead as to how to communicate in a marriage, which we all know is way different than communicating with your kids or your friends or your boyfriends. So because we didn't have that, we had to figure that out. So that's the rule that we put in place for ourselves and for our family. And 19 years later, I mean, it's our longest relationship ever, so we're doing pretty good with it.
Listen, we learn from the past, or we're bound to repeat it. And I hope that is in your case, you find that kind of growth. All right. Thank you for joining us today. Been a very interesting half hour. I hope you're taking something away for your life, your marriage. I will say this. The Bible is very clear when it comes to our relationship with each other. We're to think first of others instead of ourselves. Boy, is that contrary to our culture today. Think not only of your own interests, but also the interest of others. To the extent, the Bible says, the extent it's possible within you, lies within you, live at peace with everyone. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. These are all right straight from the Bible. Communication matters. I hope it'll matter to you too. God bless you. I'm Dr. Randy for Intentional Living. For the entire team here, have a great day, and we'll see you next time.